Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The Game, Adam Schefter, what we've already reported from Adam Schefter on the show today. Adam Schefter has been tweeting out kind of the concessions the Packers have made to Aaron Rodgers. I love some of this stuff. The 2023 year in Rodgers' contract, the last one in his current deal, would be voided with no tags allowed in the future, per sources. Well, when they took the kid in the first round, Jordan Love, eventually they were going to play him, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So if Aaron's the quarterback this year, last year, and next year, Jordan Love would be going into year four anyways. They'd already have to make the call on his fifth-year option before him even taking a meaningful snap. Well, eventually Jordan Love was going to be the quarterback. Aaron's going to be 40 when Aaron is for sure allowed to hit the market. Schefter says, Aaron Rodgers' contract would be adjusted with no loss of income this year to give the Packers more cap room. Mechanisms will be put in place to address Rodgers' issues with the team. Now, that seems interesting, but it just sounds like window dressing.
Mm-hmm.
Schefter saying that, this is my favorite part, If Packers officials sign off on their willingness to trade Aaron Rodgers and their agreement is finalized soon, here's the biggest concession the reigning MVP will receive: the freedom to decide where he wants to play in 2022. Ha, ha, ha. So remember when we were talking about how you couch things and how you address them tells the whole story? Schefter's report was, at the end of the year, the Packers will review the situation and might consider letting Aaron go somewhere else. Might. They might consider that possibility. For example, as Schefter said, this is the tweet from Schefter: the Packers would agree to review the Aaron Rodgers situation at the end of this season, per source. That is not the same as, Aaron, next year you'll be allowed to go wherever you want. Those are two totally different things. Totally different. And I just don't think, like, I think everybody is playing a part. But everybody is playing their part in this. Devontae Adams pretended like he was going to hold out. Now he's open to signing an extension. The Packers are giving concessions, which just mean that if Aaron's 40 and still playing at this level, then they'll have to either re-sign him to a new deal or Aaron will get to go somewhere else. But I don't see Aaron being Tom Brady and winning a Super Bowl in his 40s. That's just me, and that's probably them too. So Aaron is sitting here with all of his concessions, and Aaron is, oh, yeah, just, I've got this, I got, oh, yes. And Shefty's playing his part by pretending this is a big deal. It's not. At the end of the day, Aaron had no leverage, and at the end of the day, Aaron really hasn't gotten anything other than he's out of his 2023 deal. Congratulations to Aaron. Time for headlines with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman and Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
You mentioned Aaron Rodgers. There is another NFL quarterback that has just had drama written all over it. Now, we heard some breaking news this morning. There have been developments. We'll start on the earlier news, and then we'll get into the developments. But this morning, the Texans announced that they are willing to trade Deshaun Watson. Now, initially, they said they had no intention to, but they said that they will now field offers for their quarterback. They said they've received a few offers, nothing that they're really interested in. They are looking at a combination, an asking price, a combination of 5 high draft picks and starting caliber players, which is just an astronomical asking price. So Deshaun Watson has said, look, I still want to be traded. He reported to training camp today, but he said, I still want to be traded. My stance on that has not changed. So Watson's personal QB coach, Quincy Avery, told Adam Schefter, I am 100% sure he will be traded at some point in the coming future, which is a little vague, but I don't think that is going to happen unless the Texans lower their asking price for outstanding reasons that Deshaun Watson is facing allegations against sexual assault, and there have just been new developments that just came out from ESPN. It says that 10 women have now filed complaints with the Houston Police Department about Deshaun Watson, 8 of which are among the original 22 women who have alleged he sexually assaulted them. And the other 2 have not filed lawsuits, but Deshaun Watson's attorney, Rusty Hardin, said that there are 2 women who we don't know anything about.
Okay, so let's start here. Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson, they feel very much like, it's like Law and Order, right? Like there are two separate yet equally ridiculous quarterback situations where neither guy has any leverage anymore.
Yes.
And Deshaun is different from this standpoint. The Texans are now saying, hey, we're willing to trade Deshaun. We weren't willing to originally, but now we are. And we want 5 first-round picks and good players in return. Let's analyze this. If you had a brand new custom Bentley that you just loved, and somebody was like, I'll give you $1 million for that car, and you paid $1 million for it, you'd say, nope, I want this car. This is my car. And then if somebody took a sledgehammer and just, you know, took 3 cracks right at the hood, and then you'd say, hey, I'll take $1 million for this car.
You can have the car for $1 million,
right?
For sure.
That's where they are with Deshaun Watson. I mean, Deshaun Watson might go to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the NFL where Julio Jones doesn't go for a first-round pick because, you know, Julio might be old and hurt. Deshaun might go to jail. Like, Deshaun Watson might be a rapist. This is the NFL. They are not trading him right now. Nobody is trading for him. Nobody is giving up a legitimate asset to acquire Deshaun Watson.
Much less 5 legitimate assets.
It's absurd. And I love Watson, right? The pride this guy must have.
He's a great quarterback.
I mean, when I say I love, like the fact, like the cojones on this guy, who is legitimately facing allegations that he might be a rapist, and to be like, yeah, I still don't want to be here. I'd rather be the quarterback somewhere else. Dude, shut up. Like, seriously. Like, if I was Deshaun Watson, I'd save my money. Because I don't know what's happening with all of these lawsuits, but there's a lot. And the audacity that Deshaun Watson has to say, yeah, I still don't want to be here. I mean, I'm here, but I don't want to be here. I don't trust this organization. Dude, you might go to jail. Like, I would hope that Ray Lewis has a special place in his heart for Art Modell. Because Art Modell, you know, stood by Ray Lewis when he was involved in that double murder. I hope Deshaun Watson can look at the situation and say, you know, kind of like Aaron, where Aaron won't admit that he had no leverage. Deshaun has no leverage. It's like someone said, well, you know, he's got a no trade clause, so he'd have to waive that too. Like, okay, so in order to acquire Deshaun Watson, I have to give up 5 high assets. I have to hope he doesn't go to prison. I have to hope he's willing to waive his no trade clause for me. And I might have to give him more money.
And we also don't know if the NFL will allow him to play Week 1. No matter what happens with his legal proceedings, the NFL could say, hey, look, we are going to ask that you do not play until this all pans out. Now, we don't know what's going to happen, and we don't know what Roger Goodell is going to do with Deshaun Watson, but that is a possibility, that he may not even be able to play no matter what happens with his legal proceedings.
Unbelievable. What's next?
So, we learned today that Texas and Oklahoma have officially notified the Big 12 that they will not be renewing their media rights when they expire in 2025. We probably already knew this. I think last week it was a pretty good telling that Oklahoma and Texas had no intention of remaining in the Big 12. But that's not the important part of the story to me. I think the most important part of this story is that the Pac-12 commissioner, George Kilakoff, says that the conference is not looking to add any schools. He said, I understand that it would be foolish to not listen to some schools, maybe possibly from the Big 12, maybe from the AAC if they're looking to expand as well. He said, it could be foolish of us not to listen to some of these schools who are looking to join our conference. But he said, hey, look, we're good with what we have. He said, I consider the Pac-12 an exclusive club with a high barrier to entry. We love the schools and teams we have today. We are not actively seeking to poach any teams from any conference, but we'd be foolish not to listen if schools call us. So I think that was almost kind of like the Texas A&M AD who said, look, we don't want Texas in the SEC. We would veto it if we could. But, you know, we want to be at the top of college football. We're not totally against it, but we don't want it. But also important to point out that university presidents and chancellors ultimately have the right to admit or deny certain schools into the conference. So let's say TCU says that they would like to join the Pac-12. The presidents and the chancellors would have the ability to vote on that in majority rules.
I think the Pac-12 is playing hardball. You know, who really loves us?
But also, why? Why are they playing hardball?
I think because...
What's their MO here?
I think the thing is, you could in theory, I mean, this is not crazy, you could make these schools so desperate to want to join your conference that they'll give concessions. That they'll do like what Maryland has done to join the Big Ten, Rutgers did, which was, we won't take all the money. Like, so TCU will sign up for the Big 12 or the Pac-12, but you don't get as much for the first 5 years as Colorado does. You don't get as much as Oregon does, or Oregon State, or Washington State. I mean, I think it's a leverage play here. I think the Pac-12 is going to 16. I think the Pac-12, unlike the other conferences that can only admit two, they know they can admit four. A lot of those Big 12 schools would jump immediately, so I think they're going to make the Big 12 schools work for it.
I think so, too. And I think it's almost a way of saying, hey, look, we're important, too. Because
sure,
yeah, it, to me,
like, we're not just going to do what everybody tells us to do. We're going to do what we want to do.
Right, we're going to do what we want to do, and we're going to maintain the integrity of our conference. And that's what the Pac-12 commissioner said. You know, if they reach our level of academic excellence, of athletic excellence, then we will consider it.
What's next?
So, All-Pro pass rusher Chandler Jones has requested a trade from the Arizona Cardinals. He says that he is unhappy of his contract. He is in the final year of his contract that runs through next season. He will get $15.5 million this year. We could possibly expect him to play throughout this year, collect his money, hit free agency next year, and then explore his options. But training camp begins tomorrow for the Cardinals. The Cardinals do not want to trade Chandler Jones. They expect him to come for training camp. I kind of think that he will be there, but will be an interesting development with Chandler Jones and the Cardinals. Will he have a little bit of resentment? Could he not come to training camp? Could it be a move that the Titans could consider making? So, more to come, but that's really all that there is with Chandler Jones and the Cardinals right now. He's unhappy with his contract. He wants more, but training camp starts tomorrow, so we will see if he decides to show up or not.
I think the agent should have put that out there at the beginning of the offseason. I think it would have.
It's
I think
too late.
You would have had people that would have been interested. I think you would have, for sure. Coming off of an injury, we'll see how that goes. But the Titans, for example, they can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
They've spent too much. I'd rather take 1 year on Chandler Jones than sign Bud Dupree for all the money that they signed Bud Dupree for, but I can't do it because I didn't know
you
this before I signed
You already signed
Bud Dupree. Those are headlines with Caroline. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025 here on Stillman & Company. Coming up next, where does the rest of the league see the Titans going into training camp tomorrow? The Athletic has released their first edition of power rankings. Should we be a little discouraged? We'll discuss next. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, Stillman & Company. And you know what? I'm in a good mood. We'll give away something later this hour as well. CESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Like, what do you stress most during the mini camp, and how do you go about maybe incorporating some of the guys who have not been here in with the guys who have been here throughout the OTAs where you don't skip a beat?
Yeah, well, we're not going to wait for anybody to get up to speed. We're gonna keep rolling, and we expect those guys that haven't been here to be ready to go, and I think for the most part they were. We stress the same things, whether it's phase one, phase two, phase three, or veteran minicamp. You know, we want to be able to play with great effort and finish and be conditioned enough to do so. You know, we want to continue to understand the concepts and the details that go along with each play offensively or defensively, and practice fundamentals and technique, things that we believe are critical.
That was Mike Vrabel talking about, hey, it's time. Training camp, time to get rolling tomorrow. Vrabel will have his opening press conference. Camp starts tomorrow for the Titans. Practice starts on Wednesday. And by the way, we will discuss this in the 5 o'clock hour, but the level of dedication that I've decided we're going to have on this program as far as training camp is concerned, because none of these practices are going to be open to the public. And everybody that covers the Titans will write an article. You know, Jim White will have something on the Titans website. And you know, TD will be writing at ESPN what he saw from practice. And Paul Kaharski will have a report. But, like, we get 4 hours. Like, I will do my darndest to give you the best representation we can give as far as training camp is concerned, because you all want to know, and you can't see. You can't see what's going on, so you can't watch everything at one time, but I'll try to make sure that we do the best we can as far as that is concerned this year. So The Athletic has come out with their power rankings. I'm not a huge power rankings guy, but I am kind of a, okay, where do you really fit? So the 31 at the 31 NFL reporters and editors last week all voted on the power rankings. I'm guessing Joe was the one who voted as far as the Titans are concerned. So I'm just going through them. And again, we talked about our expectations, 13-4 for me, 12-5 for you. Ian was 11-6. I mean, that is high end, top of the league kind of stuff. Not very best, but it's pretty up there. So I'm going through the Athletic power rankings, Kansas City, Tampa Bay, Buffalo. I see Baltimore. I'm like, okay, Baltimore.
Baltimore is high.
Baltimore at four. Okay. I know the Titans were as even with the Ravens as you could be last year. They played each other in a playoff game that went down to the wire. They went to overtime in the regular season. I mean, I think Baltimore and Tennessee were right on even par. Baltimore went on the road to Buffalo where they got crushed, which is probably what would have happened to the Titans. I mean, what did Baltimore do this offseason that was so earth-shattering? They lost
got Sammy Watkins.
Now, they lost Matthew Judon,
but
they added Sammy Watkins.
Who doesn't really knock my socks off, if we're being honest.
The Titans added Julio Jones, but, oh, okay. The Rams at five. Okay, you know, L.A., this thing about Stafford, where nobody talked about him for a decade, and then all of a sudden it's, oh, he's just the best quarterback in the world. Okay, all right, fine. The Rams. As we talked about earlier, I think the Rams on the road, I think it's a toss-up. Maybe it should lose because it's in L.A., but I don't think the Rams are that much better than the Titans. So I'm thinking, all right, Green Bay 6. I think it's hard to figure out where Green Bay really sits. Aaron's going to be coming back, but he's going to cry the whole year. So I am out on Green Bay this year. That's just me. I'm out on Green Bay
Their
just because of all of Aaron's
so
drama.
High, though, which is so frustrating.
But Aaron's drama is still Aaron's drama. Their coach can't coach. I mean, I think that's not going to change. Cleveland at 7, fine. Everybody likes Cleveland. Seattle at 8, fine. Decent team. San Francisco at 9. San Francisco is a wild card team. Now I'm starting to get mad. Indianapolis at 10. The great Colts with Carson Wentz, who hasn't played good football in 4 years. Indianapolis at 10. Titans at 11. Here's what The Athletic wrote. Quote, the Titans pulled off one of the biggest moves of the offseason, trading for wide receiver Julio Jones from the Falcons. Even after the departure of offensive coordinator Arthur Smith, it's exciting to think about the offensive possibilities in Tennessee. Will Jones's addition be enough to push the Titans into the top tier of AFC teams? If nothing else, it should help their scoring output. That is a start. Then Arizona's behind them, the Chargers, Pittsburgh, Miami, and now you're really starting to get some bad teams. 11 for the Titans, behind Indianapolis, significantly behind Baltimore and the Rams. 11 for the Titans? Doesn't that seem to be a little off-putting? Like, doesn't that seem to be a little disrespectful to the Titans? I mean, the Titans had no defense last year. So any defense they get this year is a little bit better than what they've been dealing with. Just any defense they get whatsoever. And I think they're going to get a little bit more on defense because God knows it can't be worse. But to be that far behind Baltimore, to be behind Indianapolis, how is Indianapolis better than the Titans? Nobody has explained to me how Indy is a better team than the Titans. I think it is this. And I have said this time and time again, and every time you say this, everybody crosses their arms and goes, no. I think it's Tannehill. I think this is another reminder that people around the league or people that cover the league think that Tannehill stinks. Like, they think Tannehill's an average quarterback. They look at Cousins in Minnesota. They look at Jimmy G in San Francisco. They look at Ryan Tannehill here. They look at all those guys. You talk to them about Derrick Henry. Oh, he's great. A.J. Brown. Oh, he's great. Julio, great. Tannehill. He's good for what they do. I guess he's okay. Whereas here, I mean, I look at Tannehill as a strength. Now, I get a little, I don't want to say like talking out of both sides of my mouth, but there is a part of me that says, look, if you're going to be as good as you're supposed to be, and that's more of a playoff question than it is a regular season question, but if you're going to be as good as you can possibly be, Ryan Tannehill has to give me a little more. Ryan Tannehill has to win games with his arm. Now, I'm not saying he's got to go out and throw for 500 yards, but I'm saying there has to be a game where you look at it this year and you say, you know what? They couldn't get the run going with Derrick Henry. They fumbled the ball early. The defense let them down, and Tannehill shot them back into the game. It's going to have to happen if you're going to be as good as you want to be. Because I don't know of a single team in the salary cap era, maybe there's one, but I can't think of a single team that walked into the playoffs with no defense and just won every game 35-13 because they just scored and never faced any adversity. So I am, you know, again, pushing on Tannehill, saying there's got to be a little bit more there for me. But I think that this being ranked 11th, if the Rams are 5th and the Titans are 11th, it's because of the unspoken groupthink that Stafford was a great player on a bad team and that Tannehill is an average quarterback on a good team. And that's what I think this all boils down to. I saw 11 behind the Colts and I thought, this is ridiculous. And you ask yourself why. Nobody ever writes, well, the Titans were 11-5 last year with no defense. And there's no way this defense can be worse than last year's defense. So maybe they should be up a little bit higher. Nobody's writing, hey, our knock on the Titans is they have too many risks on defense. Nobody's writing that our knock on the Titans is they won a lot of close games last year and they don't have an established kicker. Nobody's writing that they don't know what the answer without Dennis Kelly at right tackle is going to be. But it's, to me, it's all about Tannehill. It is all about the fact that people that are in this league and that cover it don't believe in Tannehill. And you can get mad at me. You can hear me say this, and you can get mad, and you can say, Jared Stillman hates Nashville. He does this all the time. He just hates the teams. He hates it. I like Tannehill. I'm rooting for Tannehill. But it's not a coincidence here that nobody talks about him and that Jeremy Fowler has a top 10 list of best quarterbacks in the league as ranked by players, coaches, executives, 50 people, and they don't have Tannehill in the top 10. Tannehill is the issue. When you look at a national outlet and you look at power rankings or are people believing in the Titans, or it is always going to come back to Tannehill. And I hope that Tannehill understands this. I hope he can do the Brady and the Michael Jordan and the fine. I'll show you. But that's what I think this is. I think 11 is disrespectful to the Titans, but I think it's because of Tannehill.
There's another thing, and I don't know if it is us not thinking about it enough or if it's people outside of Nashville that are thinking too much about it, but it's the departure of Arthur Smith. I think that this article mentions it. It says, even after the departure of offensive coordinator Arthur Smith, it's exciting to think about the offensive possibilities in Tennessee. I agree because of the offensive weapons that they have added, including Julio Jones. But I think that a lot of people are worried about what this Titans offense is capable of doing without Arthur Smith at the helm.
I don't know. I mean, like, who's the defensive coordinator in Tampa Bay?
Don't know. Don't really care.
You know, like, it's Todd Bowles, but how much do people really, like, coordinators, I don't think they ever talk about this stuff. Like, who's the coordinator for the Rams on defense? Who's the new offensive coordinator? They fired Schottenheimer in Seattle. Who's the new offensive coordinator there? I have no idea. I mean, it's one of these things where I really believe this comes down to Tannehill. When you are not a name franchise, when you're not the Dallas Cowboys, then it all comes down to who's your coach, who's your quarterback, who are your star players? I think the national media, I think people around the country, I think they think Vrabel's a better coach than I think Vrabel is. I mean, I think Vrabel's a good coach, but I think Vrabel has some really big flaws that I think are going to be put on trial this season. I mean, who are the star players on the Titans? Everybody else. Oh, yeah, Henry. He's a, oh, yeah. Julio. Oh, yeah. Brown. Oh, yeah, Brown. He's just great. He's this. He's great. I mean, all of these things. Like, I get it. I get it. But then it comes back to Tannehill. It's like, why are people so high on the Rams? Because they think Stafford is the answer. Nobody's talking about the Rams that they've never been the same team since Todd Gurley stopped running the football. Nobody's ever brought that up.
Everyone's always high on the Rams.
They're always high on the Rams. They're always high on the Cowboys. They're always high on... Why is everybody high on Indianapolis?
Why is everyone that high on the Ravens?
I'm with you. I mean,
I think they're going to be a pretty good team. I don't think they're going to be that good.
Like, did Lamar start throwing the ball better all of a sudden that I didn't hear about?
Right.
So, I think, again, this is... I think this goes back to Tannehill. I think this is, they look at, the Rams are the perfect example. Because I don't think the Rams are a great team. I think the Rams are an okay team with an okay coach. I think McVay's an okay coach. I think he and Vrabel are different. But I think McVay is overrated as a coach. Like, I think everybody looks at it like, oh God, McVay, he's God's gift to coaching. And I don't think that. I think he farms out the other side of the ball and doesn't worry about it. And they spend all their money on high-end players, and that'll get you to the playoffs, but it won't get you over the top. And I look at the Rams, and I think that people around the country think this is a good team that went out and got a quarterback off of a bad team who's a good quarterback secretly. Whereas I think they look at Tannehill like, you know, Tannehill's only good because of Henry. He's only good because of Brown and Vrabel and Smith and those guys. And I disagree. Like, I think Tannehill's good because I think Tannehill's good. I think the Titans were mired in, you know, the 9-7 seasons, and Tannehill got them out of it. Now, if they could get him a defense to help, that'd be nice. But I think as far as the national perception of the Titans, at the end of the day, I think it all comes back to Tannehill. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll get your reaction, plus... how much do people discredit? How much do we, with our high expectations, not look at the Titan defense and think, okay, is that going to be good enough? 615-737-1025 is our phone number here on the program. Let me tell the fine folks out there that Nashville SC fans join ESPN 94.9 tonight from 7 to 8 for NSC Backstage, featuring Nashville SC players and coaches. Watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. NSC Backstage brought to you by Camarena Tequila, the official tequila of Nashville SC. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Let's talk about overrated. This is something that only makes everybody angry, and that's why we love doing it. Let's give one pick for each conference on somebody you think is overrated. We'll start with Keyshawn. Keyshawn, let's go to the AFC. Who do you have as an overrated team coming into this season?
I think a lot of people are putting a lot on the Tennessee Titans. They have a marginal defense, actually very marginal defense. Offensively, they rely heavily on Henry to run the football. Because they went out and got Julio Jones at the receiver position, I think everybody is kind of like, oh, my God, Tennessee, 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 Tennessee. It's like, hold on. They're not going to all of a sudden start throwing the ball all over the lot. They're going to basically be the offense that they were a year ago. Julio Jones comes in. They're not going to just decide to shut down A.J. Brown and focus on throwing the ball to Julio Jones. So just chill out. You still have a tough division. I mean, a tough opponent within the division in the Indianapolis Colts. Baltimore's there in the conference. You got the Kansas City Chiefs, the Chargers are in the conference. The Browns are in the conference. The Bills, the Pats are all in the conference. So I would slow down on the hype train of the Tennessee Titans just because they acquired one of the great receivers in NFL history in Julio Jones.
Okay, so I should not think the Titans are very good because the Chargers are in the conference. The Patriots are in the conference. The Bengals are also in the conference. The Broncos are in the conference. Mm-hmm. Texans are in the conference. Jaguars are in the conference. That was Keyshawn Johnson. Titans overrated. And I think, again, this all goes back to Tannehill. Now, if you want to talk about the defense, we can talk about the defense. Because I am with everybody else who is concerned about the Titans defense. And I will, as I said earlier today, the Titans defense stinks until they prove otherwise. Once they prove they don't stink this year, they go out there week one against Arizona, they hold them to 13 points. Okay. You know, now we can talk a little bit about how you're not terrible. But until then, I think we have to operate under the assumption that the Titans defense won't be very good. Under that assumption, though, last year they went 11-5. So I still think this has to do with Tannehill. Until Tannehill goes out there and just out-duels a good quarterback in either a big nationally televised game or a high-end playoff game, the doubters will not leave Tannehill alone. And it's not as vocal as Kirk Cousins, but it kind of feels similar. Right, remember when Kirk Cousins won the game on the road at New Orleans in the playoffs, threw a touchdown pass to Kyle Rudolph to win the game, and after the game on the field in an interview, Kyle Rudolph said, yeah, because apparently you guys don't think Kirk can win big games. Like, they know it. It's under their skin. And until Cousins goes out and gets to a Super Bowl in which he gets them there, nobody's going to feel any different about Kirk Cousins. And for some reason, I think that's how Ryan Tannehill is treated. Kyler Murray has done nothing in his NFL career, as far as I'm concerned, to anoint him to be, you know, a top 10 quarterback, or the people want to talk, people want to put Kyler up there. People want to buy into the assumption that Kyler Murray's a dude when they haven't seen it. And I know this has happened on both sides of it, because Vince Young, when Vince Young won a bunch of games here early, everybody was sold on Vince Young. I mean, Vince Young was on the cover of Madden. They said, okay, Vince, he's the next great one. And then ultimately it didn't work out. But I think this goes back to, I think there is a lot of disrespect for Ryan Tannehill. And I think that is something that the Titans have got to, you know, that Tannehill at some point is going to have to shut these people up.
I have a question for you. Let's say if we divide the NFL in three different categories, that top tier of teams, kind of the middle of the road, good, not great, and then teams that are just bad. Where would you put the Titans?
I think the Titans, I think, okay, using these power rankings as an example.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to consider Baltimore up there towards the top, then you got to consider the Titans up there towards the top.
I
don't think they're better than Tampa Bay. I don't think they're better than Kansas City. I don't think they're better than, you know, if Rodgers isn't a distraction in Green Bay, which he will, I don't think they're better than them. You know, I think if you were to look at Cleveland, I'd probably put the Browns ahead of the Titans, though I think the mm-hmm. Browns have a lot of their own issues they're not prepared for this year. Like, now your schedule gets harder.
Right.
Now there's more scrutiny. Now Odell's back. He wants the ball. I think those are going to be issues they're going to have to absorb. I don't think they're, you know, like teams that I just don't. The Jets, the Jags, the Giants, the Texans, they're not down there. I don't think that they're one of those teams that you would think are good but have fallen off. Mm-hmm. I think that's Pittsburgh. I think that's San Francisco. I think that's New England. I think that's New Orleans, mm-hmm. you know, where they're just not good anymore.
Right.
So I think the Titans are in like a weird spot. So it depends on what you qualify as the top and then the level below the top, because the Athletics power rankings go, what is it, Kansas City, Tampa Bay, Buffalo, Baltimore. Okay, mm-hmm. Baltimore's there, then the Titans got to be 5, 6, or 7. You know, then they're where Seattle is. They're probably where the Rams are, maybe a step above because they've got continuity at quarterback. There's no guarantee Stafford's going to work there. So it depends on what you mean by, you know, where would you put the Titans. But I'm telling you, I'm putting them with Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm putting them, you know, maybe a step below Cleveland, but certainly in the same zip code. I'm putting them right there with everybody in the NFC who's not Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
I think they belong there, and I'm sure there will be some surprise teams this year, but I certainly think the Titans belong in any discussion. If you're going to put Baltimore at 4, I think the Titans belong in any discussion right there where Baltimore is.
This list aside, not considering that Baltimore is they rank them number 4, in my own mind, I consider the Titans, if you're going to group it in 3 different groups, the bottom of the top group. You know, they're not one of those teams that have fallen off, like you mentioned, like the Steelers or the Cardinals, which I kind of see in that middle of the road. They're better than that, but they're not Tampa Bay. They're not Kansas City. So when you look at this list with the Titans at 11, that kind of aligns with what I'm thinking, and I think what you're thinking too, is like they're not quite average, but they're not elite. They're right in the middle. So I don't have a problem with where the Titans are in this list. I think 11, you know, take away who's above them, I think 11 is a fairly decent place to put the Titans in the terms of in the grand scheme of the NFL. I think the root of my issues with this list is that I'm just not very high on a lot of teams in the NFL this year.
Yeah, I'm not either. I mean, I like every team I can really pick apart and really say, okay, I don't think that team's good or that team bothers me, or every single team. I can pull that up. I think you can. I think we can. I think you can pull apart with that. And not just the obvious ones of the teams that absolutely stink. Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025. Text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline Fenton's on it. What do we have?
One texter texts into the text line and says, Jared, Ryan Tannehill will get the respect when he shows he can win the game when put on his shoulders. The good to great category hits only when a player can basically find a way to win when everybody else goes south. Tannehill has not shown that he can do that just yet.
So I'm kind of with the texter. I mean, I have very mixed feelings about Tannehill. I like Tannehill. I think Tannehill should be the starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. I think you can win with Tannehill. But this time last year, I was very much Johnny go hung on Tannehill. Just, yes! And when they lost that playoff game to the Ravens, and he threw for 165, and he threw one touchdown, and had an opportunity to win the game at the end and didn't. I mean, I am of the mindset that at some point you got to go prove to me you can win that kind of game. I know Brady can win that kind of game. He was down 28-3 in the Super Bowl. I know Rodgers can win that kind of game. I know Eli Manning could win that kind of game. Can Tannehill win that kind of game? And I haven't seen anything yet that makes me think, hey, Tannehill can win you that kind of game. He does that. I think he gets all the respect he needs. The numbers, you look at the numbers between him and Steve McNair, and it's not, I mean, they are not night and day. I mean, you can make an argument that Tannehill is the best quarterback in the history of the Tennessee Titans. And I think after this year, if Tannehill has a similar year to the first two, I think you really can make that argument. I wouldn't make it, and it's hard for me to believe, but that's kind of putting the fan in me up front first. I am certainly not against the texter's idea that Tannehill has to go out and earn that respect. I mean, the Titans essentially extended his contract this past year, and I wasn't completely gung-ho for it because I felt like, you know, Tannehill's got to prove a little bit more. What's next?
Ben texts into the text line about the athletic power rankings and says it's all about the fact that the Titans' defense sucks until proven otherwise, and their special teams isn't far behind. That knocks you down substantially in the rankings.
See, I just don't think anybody really talks about that, though. Like, I don't
think...
I mean, the defense, yeah, like it gets brought up, but I don't think it's... I don't think anybody talks about anybody's defense. But the special teams issues, I mean, you guys know me. Craig Aukerman has... I mean, he's back as special teams coach. And great. I'm sure there won't be any unmitigated disasters there. But it's like, I agree with the texture that the special teams are awful, but I don't think anybody putting these lists together care about that. Now, if you want to make an argument for the Ravens over the Titans because they've got Justin Tucker and no one knows what the Titans are doing, fine, but no one is making that argument.
But and I don't think that would separate teams. Number 4 to number 11.
No, but I will say this. I do think special teams and the issues the Titans have had for years in that department have got to change, because I do think it's hurting them. I think it is hurting them more than they will let on to. I think they've got to play complementary football. I think with the new practice squad, you know, limits, the practice squad rules that are the same as last year, I think they need to bring Matt Overton back, because I'm worried about snapping, even though, you know, Morgan Cox is a Pro Bowl snapper from the Ravens. I mean, I do think special teams certainly took a step back last year. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back to your text, your reaction on the Titans. But coming up next, in life, you have to have standards. And unlike other people who can convince themselves of lowering their standards because of their situation, I will not do that. And I don't think we, as a country, should do that. And I will explain in the least political way possible, because this has nothing to do with that, but how our standards cannot be lowered. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
The final 7 seconds here. Lillard puts it up. Holiday, no, and that will do it. So France has beaten the United States in the first game in Pool A. Final score 83-76.
Obviously, the French played well in this game, but the Americans did not execute, did not get it done. And quite frankly, they were just flat-out outplayed. It was not because they were tired. It was not because the French have some sort of special magic. It was because they got out-executed, and that is not something we're used to seeing from the national team.
Brian Windhorst yesterday, Olympic basketball. The only thing that cheered me up last night was Olympic softball coming from behind in extras, knocking off Japan. Way to go, Olympic softball.
That was a great game.
Great game. And, I mean, you know, I have a girlfriend, and I think my girlfriend is just, like, out of this world beautiful. But Ali Carter, you know, she can pitch now. I will say that. Basketball.
Basketball's
bad. Let me say this. We should have standards in life. Like I have standards that maybe other people don't have on certain things. And I think that, like, sometimes a lot of people will compromise their standards, right? Like, they'll say, I would never allow this. And then it's like, well, you know, it's okay. Last year, the Big Ten said, hey, you got to play 6 games. If you can't play 6 games, you can't win the Big Ten championship, because that would just be ridiculous. Ohio State played 5. Hey, you know what? We'll change rules. I'm not big on compromising standards. Once you set the expectation, once you set the standard. Team USA basketball should never lose. They should never lose. Now that they are playing with NBA players, which first happened in 1992 when we put together the Dream Team, and we never came close to losing. We didn't come close to losing in 96. We didn't come close to losing in 2000. Then all of a sudden, 2004 came around. And what happened was, well, the NBA players didn't want to play for Team USA anymore. So you had a team with a past as prime Allen Iverson. You had one really good player in Tim Duncan. And then you were just filling out the rest of the roster. LeBron was young. Dwight Howard, Carmelo Anthony, all those guys. Dwayne Wade, they weren't in their primes. And you got embarrassed at the Olympics. And everybody said the same excuses then that they're saying today, which were, the rest of the world has caught up to us. The game is more international now. The rules in the Olympics, the ball is different. The rules are different. It's hard to adjust to the international style of play. There are more NBA players on these other foreign teams. I heard that when I was in the eighth grade, and we got embarrassed winning the bronze in Athens. And Team USA basically vowed that that was never going to happen again. And in 2008, we had the Redeem Team. And remember who was on that squad? Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Chris Paul, Kobe Bryant. We had a freaking squad. We didn't lose a game then. We didn't lose a game in 2012. We didn't lose a game in 2016. Then a couple of weeks ago, we lose some of these warm-ups, and it's like, oh, well, you know what? We'll just wait, because the finals ran late. We're getting Drew Holiday back. We're getting Kevin Durant back in. We're getting Devin Booker in here. Okay. Two things. There's two sets of people I'm mad at. First of all, if Popovich loses another game, he should be fired. Like, we should get him out of the Olympics right then and there. Like, these are the Olympics. They come around once every 4 years. We don't have time to adjust for mistakes. Popovich, this is not the NBA where the players do all the playing. I mean, at some point, you got to coach them up. Maybe that's why college coaches are better at this than pro coaches, because Larry Brown wasn't great when he was coaching in 2004. I think Coach K coached the last three. He did a great job. We need college coaches. So that's one thing I'm keeping my eye on. Popovich, you know, look at him. Number two, Kevin Durant. You get mad on Twitter when somebody says something bad about you. Everybody's rooting for you now. Everybody is rooting for KD on Team USA. Go be the star player. Get me over the hump. And then the third thing, where's Steph Curry? Where's LeBron James? Where's Anthony Davis? Where's all these guys that are supposed to be so great? Where are they? Why are they not on my Team USA? Do you not have the pride? Does the basketball team need a rear-end spanking? every 16 years in order for our best players to say, oh, gosh, that's embarrassing. I'm never going to let that happen again. Like, we should be embarrassed. Every time we lose at soccer, which is all the time, we always come back to the drawing board and think, gosh, how can we not make a World Cup? How can we not win in the World Cup? How can we not win in the CONCACAF Gold Cup? How can we not this? How can we lose that? They're firing the managers of the soccer teams, and it's, and everybody always tells me that the rest of the world is so far ahead of us in soccer that there's no chance we'll ever catch up. And I think that's ridiculous. With our population size, we should not be on par with Ghana. But we are. But if I am just to accept that we can't win in soccer, then I am not willing to accept that we are allowed to lose in basketball. We are not allowed to lose in basketball. That is not acceptable. Now, I find it boring when we win every game by 800 points, but guess what? That's the standard. So now that you're below the standard, that's not acceptable to me. And I think that, again, these are the Olympics. These are, you don't get, you know, trial and error where, well, you know, it didn't work out this season with Freddie Kitchens, so we'll hire a new coach next year. No, you get this once every 4 years. Steph Curry, yeah, you know, I would have loved to play for Team USA, but the timing just wasn't. What? So I would be considering making a change with Popovich right now, or if we lose again. But, I mean, I think we as Americans, as sports fans, we got to set the standard for these basketball players that losing in the Olympics is not an option. What did you think when Team USA lost last night? Or yesterday morning, I should say.
I felt kind of the same way when the women's team lost to Sweden.
In soccer?
Initially, in soccer, yes. The USA women's team lost to Sweden in soccer.
Though that may be more embarrassing, honestly.
Well, yes. But I don't think anyone lost hope in the women's team after they lost to Sweden. I think that people were very shocked. I think it was a nobody expected that to happen. But I think people were like, okay, well, that was a fluke. That was a weird thing. USA women can come back, which they did. They came back and won their next game. I think that people are getting to the certain point with USA basketball that they just kind of think that that's how they are. That's who they are.
Then we're going to lose in basketball?
Yeah.
This specific team. Not that it's acceptable for us to lose.
Correct.
Because we've been through all this. Like, everybody talking about what Evan Fournier did yesterday, and I am an Orlando Magic fan. Mm-hmm. So I know all about Evan Fournier. What he did yesterday is no different than what Carlos Arroyo, an NBA player who was playing at Utah at the time, what Carlos Arroyo did to the USA in 2004 when he played for Puerto Rico. That is no different. So the people that were like, Evan Fournier was the best player on the pipe it. I know all about Evan Fournier.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a player for the French team, and I don't know his name off the top of my head, but he said, individually, Team USA has much better players than we do, but we are a better team. And that's embarrassing. But I think that after, it wasn't just a fluke loss pre-Tokyo, the exhibition games, they lost games that they should not have lost. They lost a game to Nigeria, which is unacceptable. I think people have just come to terms, at least I have, that this is what this team is. And it's embarrassing and it's unacceptable, but I don't expect Team USA to go any further than, I don't expect them to medal.
You don't expect them to medal?
At this point, coming into the Olympics, my expectation for the Team USA basketball team is to win gold, if not medal. Right now, I don't see how it would turn anything around.
I mean, I still expect them to win the gold. And here's another thing. If I'm the NBA, that I'd be worried about because, I mean, people, and I think it's because ESPN has all the NBA rights that they're afraid to kind of publicize how much the popularity of the NBA continues to drop. Now, it may be big across the world, but it's just not very big here. It's not what it used to be. In 2004, when all this happened, people were furious. I mean, this was like just a shot to our national pride. They lost yesterday. I don't think anybody feels that way.
And that's
embarrassing.
That kind of also goes along with the popularity of the NBA.
Oh,
people
sure.
People just don't really care anymore.
Sure. I mean, at that point, like, Kobe and Shaq had all their drama. I mean, that was fun stuff. Mm-hmm. And that was, this team, like, that's why Steph Curry doesn't want to go. Because it's like, yeah, what do I get out of going to the Olympics? You know?
I'm going to go to Cabo instead.
Yeah, like, what do I get out of the Olympics? Now, I think Kevin Durant, if I'm Kevin Durant, this is what KD should do. Kevin Durant should come out and say, I'm putting Team USA on my back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we will win the gold. And then go do it. And then I bet all these people that hate you would start to love you at least for a little bit because everybody likes Team USA. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. The Titans are opening up training camp tomorrow. Mike Vrabel will have his press conference, practice on Wednesday. So what do we think the fans' expectations for the Titans are this year, and how will they feel? We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman & Company, we are delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.